Our great and our glorious God and Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us your holy word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for the infallible, inerrant, holy scriptures. And we thank you too, Lord, that throughout history you have given your church, through the wisdom of men who have sought to collate that truth, confessions of faith, that we might understand the better the digest of your truth. Help us this morning to anchor our lives the more securely in the knowledge that your word is true and living and powerful, that it has sprung from heaven, and that you are its ultimate author. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a brief word before we look at sections 4 and 5 of chapter 1 in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Just to remind you that the Westminster Confession dates from the middle years of the 17th century. Ultimately, it was only ratified and accepted as the Church's Confession of Faith by the Church of Scotland within the United Kingdom, and later by Presbyterian churches that look to Scotland as the Mother Kirk. It remains a subordinate standard of faith because Holy Scripture, the Word of God, is our only rule of faith and life. So we read chapter 1, sections 4 and 5. The authority of the Holy Scripture, for which it ought to be believed and obeyed, dependeth not upon the testimony of any man or church, but wholly upon God, who is truth itself, the author thereof, and therefore it is to be received, because it is the word of God. We may be moved and induced by the testimony of the church to a high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scripture, and the heavenliness of the matter, the efficacy of the doctrine, the majesty of the style, the consent of all the parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, the full discovery it makes of the only way of man's salvation, the many other incomparable excellencies, and the entire perfection thereof, are arguments whereby it doth abundantly evidence itself to be the word of God. Yet, notwithstanding, our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the word in our hearts. In these two sections, the Westminster Divines are establishing two fundamental truths. Number one, the authority of Holy Scripture rests wholly and exclusively on God, who, we are told, is truth itself and the author thereof. Scripture's authority does not rest on the authority of the church, and the divines were self-consciously opposing the doctrine of the church in Rome. Now, this is not denying that God used mere fallible men as his penmen. Scripture betrays the humanness of its authors. But the humanness of the authors were kept from error by the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. And this is what one of the proof texts makes clear, 2 Peter 1, verse 19 following. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So if then God is the ultimate author, of Holy Scripture. Scripture should be, as we are told here, received because it is the Word of God. The point is not that inspired men wrote the Scriptures, but that the inspired God breathed them out and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit gave His Word to men to write. Now this is something, of course, that the Church of Rome denies and opposes. And it uses a text that the Westminster Divines also used to establish their position. In 1 Timothy 3:15, we read that God's household, which is the Church of the Living God, that is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And so Rome uses this text that the Church is the pillar and foundation of the truth to argue that the Scriptures are the product of the Spirit through the Scripture. Let me say that again. Sorry, I got mixed up here. It argues that the Scriptures are the product of the Spirit through the Church, whereas the Church is the product of the Spirit through the Scriptures. The truth that is being underlined in 1 Timothy 3 is that the truth is not of the Church's making, but of God's revealing. She has the truth as a sacred deposit from above. And should the Church in any of its parts corrupt the truth, she ceases to be the household of God. God's truth stands over the Church and judges the Church. The Church stands under the truth, testifies to the truth, and defends the truth. So while the Church is not the authority that undergirds the Scriptures, we should never lightly dismiss the Church's historic testimony to the Word of God. So the authority of Scripture rests wholly and exclusively upon God, and we should therefore receive it for what it is, the Word of God, believe it, and have it shape and style every part of our lives. The second great truth being highlighted here is that the inward or heart persuasion that Scripture truly is the Word of God is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. So you'll see in that section 1:5 that the Divines do not despise the testimony of the Church or the many excellencies in Holy Scripture, but they do want to make it absolutely clear that it takes a supernatural work of God fully to persuade us and assure us that the Scripture is the Word of God. The same supernatural work of God that persuades us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, that same supernatural work of the Holy Spirit is what persuades us that Scripture truly is God's Word. And you'll notice that this full persuasion and assurance comes by and with the Word in our hearts. In other words, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to persuade us of its truthfulness and trustworthiness. Just as He uses the Word of God to bring us to faith in Christ, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, so the Holy Spirit uses that same Word to bring us to the felt persuasion and to the intellectual conviction and to the heart knowledge that what we have before us is nothing less than God's infallible, inerrant Word. When the Holy Spirit regenerates us, He opens our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to adore. So if someone asks the question, how do you know that Scripture is the Word of God? Our answer is this: God Himself has persuaded us, because Christianity is unembarrassed supernaturalism. Let's pray for a moment. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit to open our eyes, to behold in your word that which is life and truth. May we live under its authority gladly and sweetly. May we love your truth, for it is your truth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.